Good morning, everybody, and welcome in the name of the Lord to our worship service this morning. A special welcome to Bill and Anne Anderson, who's with us this morning, and we pray the Lord will bless you both as you minister to the Lord today. And we've certainly been blessed over the last few weeks with your son Craig's ministry as well, Bill and Anne. So it's a blessing to have you amongst us this morning. There is tea following the service today, so don't rush away. Do go through into the back hall for a cup of tea and coffee and refreshments and some fellowship. Special welcome to some visitors from Lark Hall. May the Lord bless you. And I think Lionel and Julie Curtis lived in Lark Hall, didn't they, Isabel? But you didn't live in Lark Hall, did you? Your mum was born in... Now, you'll need to catch up with Isabel after the service, okay? And I'm sure you can... You wouldn't be able to go back, right back to Noah, you know, but I'm sure we'll be able to sort out the ancestry and stuff. Welcome, anyway, everybody to the service this morning. This is the holiday period, so there's not a lot in terms of intimations, but I just wanted to mention the Murray Coast Convention in Bucky Baptist Church, which starts on Saturday the 2nd of August through Friday the 8th of August. The Bible Study Week, Be Encouraged, with Paul Mallard and Paul Blackham. There's various meetings, 9:30 in the morning, 11 a.m. in the morning, and 7:30 p.m. at night. If you do a Google search on Murray Coast Convention, summer 2025, you'll get the schedule there for the various meetings. Next week, God willing, the speaker is Andrew Young. Do remember those who are ill, laid aside, or needing prayer, and we're all needing prayer, aren't we? You know, we all need prayer in these days. So do continue to pray for one another and for the world situation. There's much to pray about. Pray for Albert Sutherland, who's preaching twice today up in Alness this morning and Alvis near Elgin tonight. Happy birthday this week to Erin Noble, who was 21. So presumably she already had a key to the door, John, I'm not sure, but yeah. But Erin and Alma are heading down to Glasgow, and Erin's got a procedure tomorrow, so remember Erin and Alma in your prayers and the family. And happy birthday to anybody else I've not mentioned over the last few weeks as well. Or maybe deliberately not mentioned, but happy birthday anyway. I think that's all the intimations. I'll just hand over to Bill now. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks very much. Really nice to be back with you again. Nice to see Kent faces, mostly. We anticipated through the weather forecast that we would be driving up here and rain and wind, and look at it, brilliant. If this is the worst you can do, you're doing well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Just, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your love and kindness to us. We thank you, Father God, for this is the day that you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. That's your word to us. So, Father, we thank you. We just commit this time to you and ask, Father God, that you would indeed lead us and guide us by your Spirit. And that, Lord, what we do, what we say, what we sing would be to your praise and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Let's stand and let's just remember every blessing that we've received from the Lord. I don't know about you, I won't be able to remember them all. There's so many. But let's give God the honor and the praise. Let's stand and sing.
Come now, fount of every
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and creator of everything that has been made, everything has been made by your great hand, your great plan, your great purpose. And Lord, we just want to thank you that we sitting here today who know you through your Son, Jesus Christ, are here by your great plan and your great purpose. And that, Father God, we just want to thank you for that precious blood shed by Jesus on the cross that cleanses us, Father God, from all our sin. Lord, your promise is if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all sin, and that, Father, you don't put us on probation. We just see that word and we believe it and we thank you for it. Your word to us today, too, is to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Father, we just want to thank you for this congregation of your people here in Fraserburgh. We thank you, Lord God, for your love and your kindness to us. We thank you, Father God, that you know each and every one of us sitting here this morning. Your word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father, we thank you. And Lord, there are some here today who might not feel that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, who are going through maybe a time of sickness, time, Father God, where there have been or waiting to be admitted to hospital for one thing or another. We commit them to you, Father. Doctors can cut, doctors can give us pills, but it's you that heals the wounds. So, Father, we just commit them to your grace, to your love, and your mercy. Father, too, we just want to lift our land before you. We want to thank you that this is where you've placed us. And Lord, you've given us a responsibility to pray for it. And Lord, we just commit the government before you. We commit, Father God, those of authority over us. But all authority comes from you. So, Father, we do pray for them that they would indeed, as they exercise that authority, that, Lord, that we be done under the fear of the Lord and not, Father God, through selfish gain or ambition. Father, we do pray too that you would indeed just stir our hearts this morning to seek after you, that, Lord God, you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and that, Lord, wherever your word is preached today in this area, whether it's Fraserburgh, Peterhead, or wherever, that, Lord God, where your word is preached, we just pray, Father God, for an anointing upon the speaker and, Lord, those who are hearing. That, Lord, there would be a change in all of our hearts, Lord, and a spirit of expectancy to come from you. Lord, we love one of your suddenlies when you do something, Lord, that we just didn't expect. We look forward that, Lord, you could do that with us this morning. We commit our way to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing again, O Church Arise. It's more than just standing. It's Church Arise for God. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Our reading today is Psalm 111, 111. Psalm 111. I'm reading from the New King James. I haven't been converted. I just thought it was easier to read it from the New King James. I better cleanse. I better say what I meant there. Otherwise, folk will be going away with the wrong impression. My usual Bible is the King James Version. That's why I made that comment. Right, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands, the verity and justice, all his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Amen. Whatever we do has to be done in faith and trust in God. And that way he gets all the praise and the glory for our obedience to him. Let's stand and sing once more, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let's stand and sing. This morning, I'm dealing with the word fear. And then half the people leave. Dealing with fear, but it's fear of the Lord. Bye. Bye. Fear, when you mention that, it takes out various emotions in people. We were visiting my sister, who's a bit older than me, and she's gone through just near-death experiences over the last year or so. And we were speaking about ancient times when we were growing up together. And I was in the Cub Scouts. And we were brought up in a tenement house near the Marshalling Yards at Kitty Brewster in a ground floor. And my parents, I was about 7 or 8, and my parents had gone out for the night, I think it was to the cinema, and my sister, who's 5 years older than me, was supposed to be looking after me. But I was in the Cubs there in Woodside, and I used to take the bus back down to Kitty Brewster, where I lived, got off the bus, and I knew my parents were out, and we always had a key. We had a little cupboard under a stair at the back of the house. So I saw my sister at the front door with her friends, went in to get this key, and it was pitch black, absolutely, but I knew where it was. Just open this door, put your hand into the right, and there it was hanging. Well, I put my hand into the right, and I touched this person who let out an almighty scream. Of course, you should have seen the speed I got out the building at the front door. It happened to be the girl upstairs canoodling with her boyfriend, I think. But she got as big a scare as I did. But I was out that door, and my sister today, when I met her last week, she was saying, "I remember that night, because you couldn't speak when you come out the door." So fear has an effect on people in different ways. But what I want to speak about is fear of the Lord. There are certain fears, unhealthy fears. Fears of the dark, I can testify, is unhealthy. Fear of flying. And there's fear of man, and there's fear of enclosed spaces. There's all these unhealthy fears that we have to deal with. And then there's things themselves to fear. God, God's name, your parents, hell, evil, things to fear. And then there are things not to fear. We're not to fear man, false gods. We're not to fear the reproach of men. Been there so many times, been in so many battles at work, and you know, as I could say, always come out victorious. Always come out victorious. And then the sudden fear. That's the fear where you put your hand around a corner and touch somebody you don't know is there. That's sudden fear. And then there's persecutions, things not to fear. And sometimes you think, how do Christians cope going through that? There will be people today, just like you and me, will be going to church wondering what's going to happen. Is there going to be some bomb, some machine gun, some person doesn't like what we are doing? But where is our eternal home? Our home is with God. Persecutions will come, and they come in different forms, not necessarily guns and bullets. They can come from neighbors and so-called friends. And then another thing we're not to fear is the truth. Where do you find truth nowadays? Well, it's got to be discerned, but it always comes from God's word. But one fear that will bring success in life, one fear that's guaranteed to bring us success in our life, is fear of the Lord. Sometimes that doesn't stick very well with us. speaking about fear and fear of the Lord, but just want us to get a change of thought on fear of the Lord today. Isaiah 33, verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Isn't that interesting? What we are going through in the world today, what we are going through in this nation today, what we're going through maybe in Fraserburgh just now. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. There's going to be no going back when things get bad. You can't go back. What are you going back to? Really? Nothing to go back to. We go forward in Jesus. So wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. This is the life changer. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. And friends, he's sharing his treasure with you and me in our place in Christ Jesus. He's sharing his treasure with us. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found it and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That's our treasure this morning, and that's how valuable it is. To not fear or not want to fear or not consider the fear of the Lord isn't an option for us as Christians. Psalm 19:9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. So it's from now right through till we close our eyes for the last time, open them with God and whatever that entails. The fear of the Lord is going to be forever and ever. And there's never a time when we're not to fear him, but also Proverbs 23:17. Let not your heart envy sinners. It's one of the reasons why Psalm 73 was written. Let not your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. So not only is fear of the Lord eternal, it's got to go with us all of the day, every day. And fear of the Lord isn't burdensome. It's certainly not at all. It becomes a pleasure once you know what it is. First, what fear of the Lord isn't. It's not the natural fear that we spoke about. It's the fear of the Lord is the fear you would get with fire, with floods. The fear of the Lord can come through demonic influence. Matthew 12:27-28 says, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, this is a story I'm going to tell you that I don't often relate to because of its content. But we're all growing up here, and I'm going to tell it anyway. When Anne and I were Christians, new Christians, we had no knowledge of God whatsoever. Every time we opened a Bible, we were reading something for the first time. There was a lady that stayed at the Loch of Skene who was a new Christian the same as us. She's about our age. And she and us and the chap who instigated me read. I came to know Jesus through reading my King James Bible. Anyway, I come to know Jesus through reading the Gospel of Matthew, through trying to argue with him. He was winning the arguments. I'd never read the Bible, started to read it, got saved. He's in the house leading a Bible study with the three of us. And Anne's sister was married to Andy, who was a tea planter in India. But when the Europeans got kicked out, they come home with souvenirs and trinkets, and we got this ornamental spear, which was hanging above our fireplace. And as we're going through the Bible study, this chap, Raymond, said, "Bill, there's something about that spear I don't like." Now, this lady is sitting to her left in a seat in her own. This chap is to her left in his own, and we are sitting in a settee facing the fireplace. When I looked up to this spear, sitting on the spear was the outline of a baboon, a monkey, a baboon. And it was sitting with its four legs, four arms, in between its hind legs, as you'd expect a monkey to sit. And when it saw me looking at it, it leapt off the spear, just as a monkey would leap, and landed in my chest. And it was as though it was tearing my chest to get in, and it was pushing me down the settee as it was pushing. They didn't know what was going on, and I knew nothing about spiritual warfare. I didn't even know the term existed. But all I kept saying was, "Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me." And this thing leapt off my chest, and like a monkey bounds, it went right through the wall out to the north side of the house. For the next 10 days, the Holy Spirit took us round our house to cleanse it. We had an ornamental Chinese sword and a wooden scabbard, and it had fertility symbols on the scabbard. Took it down. We'd only a gas fire. We broke it, prayed over it, and threw it out. Anne had a very expensive Port Marion dish. And when we looked underneath it, it said, "To the goddess of fruit." This dish exploded and was in the bucket. We had a silver, like a mustard dish, and it had Buddhas round about it. We took a hammer to it, prayed over it, and threw it out. We went through our house and threw out several things that we knew shouldn't be there. Then I come home from work, 2 o'clock one day. We're sitting having a cup of tea. Now, Craig, who was here last week, he's now a young guy, but he was just about two at the time, says, "Daddy, who's that man upstairs?" So I flew upstairs. We both went upstairs to see who he'd seen. Don't know to this day who or what he had seen. Coming down the stairs, on the wall was this, like a plaque, but it was a totem pole, and it was a gift from Anne's parents. They'd gone to Canada to visit their son, came back and gave us this gift, this totem pole. Took it down, took it outside, broke it, prayed over it. And when we came into the house, we walked into God's presence. I kid you not. We walked into the peace and mercy of God. And we've tried since then to keep that going. So we don't fear demonic things. Deliverance comes from the Lord. We can't do it ourselves. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, another story. I was a policeman, and I was working in the public office at Queen Street, a headquarters. And what the police used to do if there was accidents involving motorcycles and maybe the cyclist had to go to hospital, we would take his motorcycle and keep it in the garage for safekeeping. But this entailed more often than not than the motorcyclist himself coming to visit his motorbike in crutches or something else to find chassis numbers to tell his insurance company. Well, this particular night, I'm working, and these five nomads. Anybody heard of a nomad? Well, have you heard of Hell's Angels? Yes, heard of Hell's Angels. Nomads are just another group of them. And they come in with their tattered old clothes, leather boots, helmets, and lots of attitude. And this guy was being helped in with his crutches, wanting to find out the chassis number of his bike, which was downstairs in the garage. Now, we knew one of them always carried a bayonet down his motorcycle boot. And I'm going down to the garage on my own. So I said, I'll meet you at the side door. I'll go down and I'll open it for you. And as I'm going down the stair, this is right. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And I said, Lord, just give my love for these guys. You know, as he did. We spent 20 minutes down in the garage chatting, having a laugh, having a joke, and said cheerio to them. They waved, getting up the ramp at the garage, gotten all the information they wanted. Perfect love casts out fear. It's happened time and time again. If you're in a situation, folks, and you begin to get a little frightened, just say, I'm going to love this. Whatever it is, Lord, love casts out fear. Bill said so. No, God's word says so. But fear, it says, fear involves torment. And tormenting fear isn't from God, has no place in the Christian life. We can deal with it, but it does not bring us into the fear of the Lord. Nor does the fear of man bring us into that place of the fear of the Lord. How do we get the fear of the Lord? Big question. How do we get the fear of the Lord? Love him. Absolutely love him. And my Christian walk took another new turn during COVID, when, of course, you were restricted reading the word, and just God became, I've always had God in my life since that conversion, always loved him, always wanted to witness for him, but there was something new took place, something deeper took place at that time. I found that this God is so full of mercy. There are times when you make a mistake and you sin and you know you're going to do it and you do it anyway and you think, oh Lord. Sometimes you feel if you just take a club over your head and say, don't do that again, you would feel better. But he doesn't. He comes with love and just gives you an embrace and says, come on, Bill. And it's like Jesus with Peter, you know. He took Peter back in to the fold after Peter had denied him. And sometimes you feel, just shout at me, do something, get me into trouble. But no, he always comes back to you with love and mercy. He's forgiving, he's generous, he's kind, he's loving. And the one thing I've always asked God, show me where holiness is. Show me what holiness is. And it's all of these things I've said. But there's another, awe. Have you been in the awe of God? Not for me, no, of course. Oh, Lord, how did you manage to do that? You know, he comes and he just changes situations around. 3 weeks ago, we went up for 4 days to Fort Augustus. We'd been there about 30 or 40 years ago, and we just loved watching the boats going up in the lock gates. And we thought, just for a break, we're going to go up there for 4 days. 2 months before doing that, we went on to the internet, saw this B&B. We thought, the room looks good, looks clean, looks tidy. Booked it there for 4 days. We arrived at this place. It was an absolute tip. And that's being kind. And I looked at my wife's face and I thought, uh-oh, we're not staying here, are we, on? No. So we said bye-bye to the chap. And, the bedroom was, it was terrible. Anyway, we said bye-bye to the chap. We went down to the car park, sat beside the car, prayed, saying, Lord, help. And again, awesome God. We came across this it wasn't a B&B, it was one of these pods outside this person's home, just up the road from where we were. So we walked up the road, and here's the chap outside doing his garden. And he says, it's my wife who deals with that. She came out. And we got this pod. It was just a huge room built outside their house. Huge double bed. We could cook, make kettle of stuff. It was nice, just real clean, tidy. But the awesomeness was, it had a huge full-size window overlooking this 12, 15-foot grass embankment, just less than here to the door. And then we sat down in the settee, and we're watching the boats coming up. And as they come into the lock gates, you could see them rising. You see a mast, and then you could maybe see wheelhouse, and then you could see the deck, because it was coming up the lock gates. And we just walk outside the house, walk up this embankment. We couldn't have planned that if we had tried. And we're just, every time we went into this place, we're saying, Lord, you are just awesome. You're so good. We could never have done this ourselves. Thank you. A thankful heart, fear of God. This place that we thought we're going to have to drive home from turned out to be this pod, this big, huge room on its own. God is so good. He's awesome. Dictionary. A feeling of reverential respect with fear and wonder. And that woman said, this is only a week. We haven't had bookings for this place. Once again, you know, you can't plan these things when you're with God. He does this suddenly. He does this special thing, not for Anne and me. He does it for you as well. Have you asked him? He does it for you as well. He respects no persons at all. So our experience of Fort Augustus was that we got to know all the gatekeeper guys. They said, you back up here again. It was just fascinating watching. It was sunshine like this, but maybe 10, 15 degrees warmer. It was absolutely brilliant. So what we did was we went to different places. We handed out, don't know how many of these. They are scripture. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And this one here says, if I can read it, the gospel of Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again in the third day of the scripture. So we're handing these things out to everybody, handing them out. We went into this Turkish restaurant the first night, and he was part owner, I think he was a joint owner of the place, and he was a bit of a comedian. And there's a couple from Canada sitting behind us. So as we were leaving, paid the bill, give them 2 coins and say, here's a souvenir from Fort Augustus. They can read it themselves. God looks after his word. So this chap, this owner, come up. I want one of them that you gave them. And I'd only one left in my pocket. I want one of them. Because they were Hindus or maybe Muslims. Probably Muslims. So he reads it and he throws open the kitchen door. Come and see what I've got. And all the staff from the back are standing at the door reading God's word. It was a good time we had. But we've to put ourselves in that spot, in that place where we have to be vulnerable. Anyway, fear of God. I like this one from Charles Spurgeon. Please give this one attention. When I regarded God as a tyrant, I thought sin a trifle. But when I knew him to be my father, then mourned that I could ever have kicked against him. When I thought that God was hard, I found it easy to sin. But when I found God was so kind, so good, so overflowing with compassion, I smote upon my breast to think that I could ever have rebelled against the one who loved me and sought my good. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord isn't arrogance or self-sufficiency or self-respect or anything like that. The fear of the Lord is to hold him in high regard, to love him, and to expect him. He's your father. And if he's your father, treat him like your father. Treat him with respect, with love, but expectation as well. In Proverbs 1, God speaks to people who have rejected him. He says some terrible words. And sometimes we always think of God as this lovey-dovey father figure that would come and give you a hug and take you up on his knee. But God's God, and he's a holy God, and this is part of his holiness. Proverbs 1, 25 to 29. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. God saying, if you don't choose fear of the Lord, if you hate knowledge, when terror comes, don't be surprised if it takes a while. You might break through to God. 2 lines there that just change the whole thing. Hatred of knowledge and not choosing fear of the Lord. He says not to be wise in our own eyes. Fear of the Lord. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is great. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, that you indeed have built within each and every one of us the Holy Spirit to give us, Father God, that desire to know you. To know God is to know life eternal. Father, we just want to thank you so much that, Lord, this is the day that you've made. This is the day that we have to be concerned about being fearful of you, fearing the Lord. And this is a day in eternity where fear of the Lord is eternal. Father, we just want to thank you so much that you do so much for us. And Lord, you do more than sometimes we appreciate or realize. You keep our feet from sliding into wrong directions. Father, you can keep us from being involved in bad things on roads, road accidents. And Lord, we just haven't a clue of all the times that you've delivered us and we've been unaware of. Help us, Father God, to treat you seriously, but with the love that you show us. Lord, if there's any here this morning that doesn't know you, Almighty God, as their loving Father, just want to bring them before the throne of grace this morning. You sent your Son. He became flesh, dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He taught us your ways. Then as the last covenantal sacrifice, he was nailed to a cross, bled for us, took all our sin, took all our punishment upon him. When he died, 3 days in the grave, and the third day he rose victorious. And Father, we want to thank you that he is in heaven now. And he has the marks of the scars in his hands and feet and side. Eternal. Father, we want to thank you for our Savior this morning. And all we need to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. If there's any here this morning, hear them in their heart saying, God, forgive me. I've gone my own way. I want to change. I want to be clean. Come into my life. Amen. It's done. If you've said that and meant it, it is done. You need to tell someone that you've done it. Amen. We're okay with that hymn. Great, great. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. Yet Not I. And we were 3 years up in Kincorth. This, and what they did was they had words on a projector and they didn't have a musician, they had CD music. So they put on the CD music, showed the words on the screen. And this Sunday morning we went in, projector, couldn't get it to read the computer, to get the words up, and we had music, but no words. So I'm looking at everybody, and everybody's looking at me. And as an icebreaker, I said, well, I suppose everybody's glad they're not standing here this morning. Managed to get a photocopier going, and really, I said, come on, there's bound to be hymns or choruses that we all know. And people started to sing, and everybody, and folk at the door were saying, that's the best meeting we've had for a long time. Sometimes we get caught up, but we are caught up this morning. Great. Good for you. I took with me some scriptures on fear of the Lord. I've two, but maybe you can sort that out if you want them. I'll leave them over here on the table. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. Lord, you know our families, you know our hearts. We just commit them to you and we commit ourselves to you for this whole coming week, Father God. May we bring glory and honor to your name. Bless us now as we part from one another. The blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.